again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah!
Hello, I'm Charles Commins and welcome to the first of two episodes of It's All Cobblers to Me this week. Joining me to catch up on Keith Curl's transfer window recruitment, the games against Scunthorpe and Macclesfield, and of course look forward to the FA Cup replay with Derby are Chessy Coleman, Danny Brothers and a Super Bowl crazed Neil Edgerton Scott.
Super Bowl craze. I've got my corn dogs ready, Charles. I've got, what else have I got? I've got some fluff in a pot.
You ever had that? Are we talking about candy floss?
No, it's called fluff. I've got me lucky charms.
Your lucky charms.
Reese's pieces. You name it. I'm ready to go.
So yeah, we are recording this on Sunday night, just in time for Neil to open about 10 cans of beer and go American football crazy. Who are you sporting tonight, Neil?
The San Francisco 49ers, as I always do, and they're up against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, Dorothy will be proud.
She will. Well, hopefully she won't.
Was that a six-pointer reference?
It's a six-pointer. I think that's a big six-pointer, I think.
It's more than a six-pointer, this, Danny.
Is it?
It's they
win the championship of the Mega Bowl.
The World Championship, as they call it. The World Super Bowl.
The World Championship of the World.
Would they beat Chris Wilder's 2016 team, though?
Absolutely not. You'd have some good NFL players in that team.
Oh, Chris Wilder would be happy with that, wouldn't he? That'd be lovely.
I'm Chris Wilder, and it's all cobblers to me.
Right then, well, that's enough ridiculous football talk, and now on to the soccer. So, we'll start off then, gang. I think we'll have to have a look at these players that Keith Curl brought in during the last few days of the January transfer window. So we had young Callum Morton coming from West Brom as a striker. Another youngster, James Olayinka, maybe that's how you say it, we're not sure. Danny wants to call him Linky Dinky as if he's some sort of weird Teletubby. I don't think that's fair. We've also got Mark Marshall, who terrorised us when he played for Bradford and numerous other teams in the past as a winger. And then on transfer deadline day itself, we signed Luton defender Lloyd Jones. So, what do we think about those?
Very, very clever window, I think. I think a lot's been flying around over the last couple of days about Keith Curl and the way he's spent this January. But I know a lot of people's opinions are that we're so fortunate that he's actually looked at it in a really measured way. And he's come in and bought players in that we need and not blown all that FA Cup money on wages, effectively. So I think it's a very clever January. And if he can pull off a promotion-winning season, it'll be even cleverer come May.
Out of those four signings, Neil, which one were you most impressed with at the time that they signed?
I wouldn't say I was necessarily impressed with any of them. Not that I wasn't impressed with them either. I didn't know much about Olayinka or Morton. And I didn't know much about Lloyd Jones either, to be honest. And I knew a little bit about Mark Marshall because he's played well against us in the past for Barnet and Bradford. I'd say once I'd read into them and looked into them, I probably thought that Lloyd Jones seems a very decent sign. I think he's out of contract in the summer as well. So if we can go up then and he performs well, then you'd like to think that we'd keep him on board.
So do we think that there's another Verdane Oliver amongst these four, Danny?
I don't think you can get near Verdane Oliver at the moment, Charles. You're not going to go out in January, Charles, and get another Verdane Oliver, are you? Let's be serious about this.
You suggested he should be locked in a cupboard the other day, Danny. You suggested.
Well, yeah, that was,
to keep him safe.
I did because Man United and Chelsea and whoever else were looking for a striker at the last minute, weren't they? Like trying to go around the world and they were just scrambling around looking for strikers. I was like, somebody lock Verdane away quick because they'll be after him. Especially after
United couldn't get Haaland, so came straight to us for the day.
Well, they might as well have done.
They could do worse, Charles. They could do worse.
They could do worse. You're quite right. Probably within their squad. So, yes. So the one player that really stood out for me, and I mean, we will talk about Scunthorpe in a moment or two, but James Olalinka, or however you say it, I just call it LinkedIn, I've decided. He was really good, wasn't he, against Scunthorpe? I mean, he blew my mind in a way. He went from being a signing that I kind of went, oh, here's a kid, I'm sure he'll be good, but, you know, we've got kids, haven't we, already of our own. Why are we signing these? I know that was a point that you kind of made, Neil. But actually, he was really good against Scunthorpe, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was really good. I thought Cole made quite a funny quote, I think, about when Olalinka signed, said that we'll have to sort of get a bit of the Arsenal out of him.
he said he's already done it, didn't he? He said the first day in training, he's already kicked the Arsenal out of him, hasn't he?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's like, right, that football, do not keep it on the floor.
So true.
But
so what are you doing? His first pass was along the floor, and he's just like,
let me have a
quiet word. It's not how we do things.
But it was good, wasn't he? He showed that he had a bit of bite about him as well. Like, he put himself about and into a few tackles. He played some lovely passes as well. I thought he looked really good. It's just a shame that he looks like he's probably injured for a while now.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There was a picture going around social media, I think on Saturday morning, which showed him in not a cast, was it? But it was one of those sort of space boots.
Space boot?
It's a space boot, isn't it? Isn't that what they're called?
To the moon.
I don't know. You never know. But yeah, it does look like it's not going to be great. And I said to you guys that, you know, the worst thing is that we probably won't actually find out about it because Tim Oglethorpe and Jake Sharp still haven't bothered to learn Spanish to be able to ask Nacho anything.
Yeah, and Cole doesn't like to tell us, does he?
No, he doesn't. It's quite infuriating.
Kind of understand it, I guess. It is infuriating as a fan, but I guess it's also to try and keep opposition teams guessing a little bit, isn't it? Are they going to be back or not? So it's a bit element of surprise, I suppose. And it's the same with the animal, isn't it?
Yeah, but I can understand that. But when you've got a player that has basically posted on their social media a picture that basically says, yeah, that's me done, lads. It was nice knowing you. You kind of think, well, you might as well just come out and be honest about it, surely.
Maybe it's that he's got that protective space boot on, and maybe they haven't had the results of the scan or something yet, so maybe they don't actually know what the extent of it is, maybe.
I think sometimes with kids as well, I say kids, I know he's not a child, but they're overcautious, aren't they? Because they're fragile beings when they're young, and making sure that he gets the right recovery and the right support as getting through that injury is probably high on their priority list at the moment. So actually, we might be thinking, oh, this looks really bad, but actually it could be an overcautious reaction just to make sure that he is fit and he does come back, because the last thing you want is a player at 18, 19 or however old he is, you know, with real bad ligament damage right at the beginning of his career. They just want to rule that out, don't they?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's interesting that you say that, considering you're the only one of the four of us that could technically still be a professional footballer and be in their prime. these kids, eh?
One thing, they haven't actually said that it happened during the game either, have they? It might have just been when Keith Curl was trying to kick the Arsenal out of him on the train.
Yeah, that's why they're keeping quiet about it. They don't want anyone sort of going, oh no, Keith's done it again. Callum Morton, on the other hand, I believe that, Danny, that we might have actually been looking at him a year ago, last January's transfer window as well. Do you think we needed a striker? We obviously let Billy Waters go out on loan early doors to Newport County. I mean, that's probably the last that we've actually seen of Billy in a cobbler's shirt. Obviously, Verdane's playing well, got a good partnership going with Andy Williams. Were you wanting maybe a bit more than just a youngster?
Originally, yes, but the type of striker that he is, I think, is something completely different. And I think you can say that about most of the four signings that we've made, is that he is different to what Williams and Verdane Oliver are. And obviously, Smith's going to be out for the foreseeable future as well. And he's fairly similar to the other two as well. So you want someone who's going to get in behind teams. And I think Morton can do exactly that, and he's this nippy player, isn't he? And the goal showed as well on Saturday that we'll come to later on. He's just got that kind of instinct in front of goal and that quick thinking that's going to sort of get him past players and to score the other kind of tapping goals, as you will. So from what I've seen of him so far, especially Tuesday night, he came on and put himself about, and on Saturday obviously got the goal. So I think he's definitely going to push Williams for a place, because I'm still not completely sure that Cole sees Williams as the long-term solution up front.
No, I think I'd probably agree with that as well. As much as we might say that that's a shame, it clearly is a case of maybe that Curl doesn't rate him as highly as we maybe think he should do. Jesse, the other player that we signed, I mean, we almost signed these three players together almost, didn't we? But Mark Marshall comes in on a short-term deal. He's had his contract cancelled. Was he with Gillingham?
Gillingham.
He's got an American.
Gillingham. Steve Evans obviously didn't rate him, either that or more likely Mark Marshall didn't rate Steve Evans, and has chosen to come and sign on for us. Now, I'm quite happy. When we signed him, I was like, oh, that's actually a really good signing. I really like that, despite the fact that he's maybe towards the twilights of his career now. But then again, you start thinking about it and you go, hang on a minute, he's a tricky winger. Where do our tricky wingers play?
Wing back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems on paper a great signing, but then when you look at the formation that we play, Neil, it confuses me.
I just let Curl do his business, do what he wants.
Well, you've changed your tune, haven't you?
Well, I've never doubted him. He's got a plan and it's working. It's perfect. We'll probably win the league, I reckon. Charles, I'm not one to overreact when we lose a game. And I'm not one to overreact when we win a game. Firmly balanced over here.
Firmly balanced.
I think with Mark Marshall, I think he looks a bit rusty, which is understandable because he's not played much this year, has he, or this season. Mm. And it didn't work out for him at Gillingham. But he looks like, certainly against Macclesfield, I thought he worked hard for the team, and he seemed to have bought into the team ethic, which was good. And he's similar to Nicky Adams, really, a little bit, isn't he? With, you know, he's got a lot of stepovers and he's a little bit tricky on the wing, and his job and his aim is to beat his man and get a cross in.
Which he did quite well, I thought, on Tuesday night when he came on. Maybe lacking that, as you say, sort of final bit of fitness or bit of sharpness. He was able to beat his man, I noticed, fairly well. But then maybe the cross was just lacking, wasn't it, a little bit at the end, the final ball.
But that was the frustrating thing, wasn't it?
But I think that'll come.
I guess that'll come.
Yeah. There you go. Jinx. Lloyd Jones then, the final bit of business that Curl did, another defender. He did also recall Jay Williams from Kettering. It's important to remember. Danny, I think it was you that maybe suggested that the Turn Dog might end up being pushed further forward into midfield.
That was Neil.
That was Neil. Well, I stand corrected. Do you agree with him, though, Danny?
I don't know. If Ollie Yinka's out and McCormack's out, McWilliams is out, then possibly. And I do think I enjoy watching the Turn Dog, so I wouldn't say no to that. It's all to do with injuries, isn't it? And who comes back, who doesn't come back. But one thing I will say, talking to the defence, is we looked at Tuesday night. I think I put out a tweet saying I was really worried about the defence because it was Harriman and Martin in defence with Goode, and I thought they both did excellently again. Particularly Martin is probably his best game he's had for us. I was concerned about Harriman up against, who was the guy on the left wing for Scunthorpe?
Issa,
yeah. I mean, he looked
dangerous, didn't he?
All night, wasn't he? Yeah. But I thought they both stood up and were counted again, and it's just another thing of this Curl squad of just everyone coming into the positions, just slotting in and getting the job done. I was really impressed with them. So, I can see him going back into midfield if not particularly where I want to see him, because I like the three of them. But you never know. I think we've got that depth now, haven't we? Which is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. So overall then, are we happy with that transfer window?
Yes, very happy.
My thumbs are up, Charles.
Oh, both?
Not my thumbs are up, Charles. My thumbs are up, comma, Charles.
I was about to say for a moment. I was about to hang up.
Oh dear! Kick the Arsenal out of it.
Hang up. Start with recording this over the phone. Some club calls.
I think a solid transfer window. I had a stupidly for my sins yesterday. I had a quick look at the hotel end for the first time in ages.
Ooh, and, risky.
Yeah, someone on there was ranting and raving and saying, "Look, you know, the club. Where's the money from the cup run gone? You know, it's short term thinking. We've only signed players on loan. Why haven't we splashed the cash?" And in my head, I was thinking, "Well, hold on. Last time we splashed the cash, that went abysmally, didn't it? And we were stuck with all these players on massive contracts for 3 years in the bottom league." Whereas actually this time, I think they have been really smart with it. They've given people contracts until the end of the season. If we go up, we're probably going to, like, being brutally honest, we're probably not going to want some of these players in League One if we do go up, because some of them won't quite be good enough. So I think they've done well. I think it's been good. And that's another point. You know, we kept Charlie good, didn't we?
We did.
And Cornell, that was another important one.
Despite David Buchanan trying to wind us up.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey.
Absolute bellend Buchanan, isn't he?
I don't quite understand why he did it.
Because he's a prick.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Neil.
I do think with this transfer window as well, I've noticed a couple of things on Twitter, but somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it is, and I'm really sorry, because they made a really valid point. They were saying, do you know what? The Cobblers are doing something really good in the fact that everything they're doing is coming quite under the radar at the moment. So they're just plugging away, they're going about their business and they're getting things done. And no one's really taken any notice of them. It's all about Swindon, Exeter, Crewe. No one really has looked at the Cobblers as serious promotion contenders, and that might work in our favour, especially on the back of this transfer window, because actually he has done a really good job in that transfer window. And if we do manage to sneak into those automatics by the end of the season, this January I think will be incredibly pivotal to that squad and how they're able to do that.
I think we don't need to go and sign these supposed superstars either, do we? Like if we went and signed Owen Doyle or something, or other big players for this level, how do they fit into what we're doing now? I think it's more important to what Carl's doing is to integrate them into what we're doing and how, like, have a work ethic, fit into the dressing room. And you can tell that they've got something, and you don't want to bring in this, like, supposed megastar for this level, and then it suddenly everything just goes squiff. And I will say the word squiff.
Squiff.
Yeah. Martin Squiff.
Isn't it skewiff?
It is skewiff.
Skewiff. Yeah.
I can say that word however I want, thank you.
Daddy's new name is Daddy Squiff.
Squiffing, you know.
I think Daddy does make a good point, though. Everyone wants to see a money sign-in and some money spent on a bit of a name player, don't they? But January is not the right time to do that. It's the summer. That's your time.
Overinflated prices in January.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you look at, I know some people, I saw some people on Twitter say, well, you know, look, Swindon have done really good business here and we should be trying to keep up with them. Well, actually, hold on a minute. The two players, or the two main players they signed, they'd had on loan previously anyway. So it's not like they'd gone out and bid. There was obviously some form of discussions that had constantly been going on in the background. So it's not like they'd gone out and, like, out of the blue plucked someone. Apart, I mean, they bought Hallam Hope as well.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. I don't really get that either. Hallam Hope's not that good. Like, he's all right for League Two, isn't he? But if we spent 100 grand on him, I'd be questioning why on earth are we spending 100 grand on him.
I'm Chris Hargreaves, and it's all Cobblers to me.
Right, let's talk about Scunthorpe. Let's go back.
Please, I really want to talk about Scunthorpe. This is going to be amazing.
Let's talk about Scunthorpe, baby.
So, there's only really two things that I think need bringing up.
Bye.
The first thing I think you should bring up is...
Bye, Kev.
Oh, go on, Daddy.
I think we might have even talked about it, didn't we, last week, saying the ideal situation would be Charlie Goode getting Kevin Van Veen sent off. It just came. You just never expect that kind of thing to happen. But for it to happen in the same game where Verdane Oliver scores twice, almost gets a hat trick, Sam Hoskins scores a penalty and nicks it off Verdane Oliver.
I know, it's shocking.
I mean, shit, how's Sam at work? I couldn't contain myself. Match of the season, by a long way.
It certainly was. Do you know what I actually felt like when Charlie came over? Was it a throw-in that he took fairly quickly afterwards, and he gave a little cheeky smile to the West Ham? I kind of felt like he was looking directly at us.
Yeah, and the Scunthorpe social media were going mental at him as well, weren't they?
Well, it was quite fun, I think, seeing what Scunthorpe fans' reaction to it all was. I mean... You've just got to look at it and go, and my opinion is that Kev's raised his hands, he's an idiot, he's fallen into Charlie Good's trap, and he gave the referee a decision to make. It's his own fault. Scunthorpe fans should be angry at Kevin Van Veen for rising, you know, to the wind up.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't risen to it, he'd have stayed on the pitch. Quite simple.
Also, another completely valid point. I think it was one of the best moments of being a Cobblers fan in recent years to see him get sent off against us. But actually, the other point is we were going to win anyway, either way.
Yes.
You know, we had them sewn up within a few minutes, I think. So actually, Van Veen was just a bit of a bonus, really. So actually, even if he hadn't have been sent off, it would have been fun anyway. But I think it's just added to the drama. It was just spectacular.
He should have got a yellow card before the Charlie Good incident anyway. It was a terrible challenge that he made, what, about 5 minutes beforehand, that he got away with scot-free. And then, you know, it was clear from the word go that Van Veen was up for this game and was maybe had a bit of the Jonjo O'Toole Day syndrome going around in his head. I think he was worked up a bit. What do you think, Neil? Do you think he was basically primed, ready for, you know, a sending off before kickoff?
Yeah, I think he's a bell end of the highest order, actually. And I know you don't like me to swear, Charles.
You've already done it several times tonight. Oh, yeah. You might as well carry on.
Yeah, I've gone rogue, sorry. But yeah, he is, isn't he? He's a massive knobhead. And you can't hide from the fact that it was brilliant. And it wasn't a red card, and it's since been rescinded, hasn't it? But
which is even better.
Yeah, which makes it even better.
By the way, just adding that.
But he's just an idiot. The guy is an idiot. Look, he's undoubtedly a talented footballer when he wants to be, but he is a knobhead. And there's nothing better than seeing him get sent off. And there's a couple of brilliant videos that were knocking around on Twitter from the West Stand as he was making the trudging off the pitch in some interesting chants aimed his way.
The thing is about it is that I think it is generally quite rare for Cobblers fans to feel so passionately about their dislike for a player that's been at the club. And I think
Ash Taylor.
I mean, but then again, think about they were both at the club at the same time, weren't they? So it's within that clique of players that we let go. And I think that's important to actually think about, because there's a reason we really dislike him, and there's a reason we took such pleasure in him being sent off, because actually, you know, he didn't do his job while he was playing for us. So, you know, it's kind of just desserts, let's be honest.
But there's also a way to leave a club as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And like all this stuff about being too good for League Two and all that kind of thing. It's just, and the way Ash left as well, the way he was when he was here. There's a difference between that and the way that Matt Crooks left. If Matt Crooks came and played next week, he'd probably be getting a few ripples of applause, and that's it. No one would be having a go at him because he seemed to leave in a decent manner.
Yeah, exactly.
You could tell that he actually has got that talent to step up, where the other two haven't. And if they did have, they would have been playing at that level before and not got relegated from it. So, and it was just the whole thing about after we got relegated, them still going ahead and saying they're too good for this level and we're going to win the league and all this kind of thing. It's arrogance. And for that to happen to a man like Kevin Van Veen, I'm going Kevin Keegan here. It was just amazing. I loved it.
I agree. And the one thing that I will say is that afterwards, where, you know, obviously the fact that it got rescinded as well, it just makes it even better.
Amazing. And the manager got sacked as well afterwards, didn't they?
Oh, poor Paul Hurst. I mean, if you were, well, as you said, he's probably too arrogant. But I mean, if I was Kevin Van Veen, I'd be feeling pretty awful right now.
I'm Nicky Adams, and it's all Cobblers to me.
Verdane Oliver, as you've already said, Danny, he finally got some more goals, didn't he? I wrongly tweeted out that it was his first goal of the season because I completely forgot that he'd scored earlier on in the league. But it was great to see him score, wasn't it, Neil?
Yep. Yeah, it was.
Come on, Neil, that deserves a lot more than that.
I was mid-jumped out.
Is it a good point to say that Dawn thought something quite serious had happened when when Vidane Oliver scored and we started screaming from the living room and she came running in? She was like, you're all right? I'm like, yep, Verdane's just scored. She's like, oh, for God's sake.
It was a similar goal to Paul Anderson's, wasn't it? That just looped in from that side, that Vidane just got a touch this time, that first one. Yeah. Gotta love him.
It was a good night, and I think like was said earlier by you, Chessy, I think we would have won that game regardless.
I'm not so sure.
Paul Hurst said, are you really?
Yeah,
I mean, we were 1-0 up already. The only player that they actually had that was any good was Issa, and I don't think that.
Well, he should have opened his account, shouldn't he, Charles?
He should have done. I know I said the word wrong. You don't have to always pick up on it.
Is, out of interest, is he related to the one at Peterborough?
I did wonder that, but I'm not sure. Danny should know. He's our player guru.
He's the brother of Mo Issa, yeah.
So, yeah, so I think it was a good game. But then we moved on to Macclesfield, didn't we, at the weekend? And we went from a really entertaining game against Scunthorpe to what I think I would describe as being a very, very boring, almost smash and grab in terrible conditions. Would you agree, Jesse?
That's what you want. Yeah, that's what you want at this stage. And do you know what? I don't really care. I didn't make the journey. So I can't account for Cobblers fans that drove up and watched it and endured it. But actually, if you look back later on in the season and you look at this result, this is a great result. I was worried on Saturday morning, not necessarily because of Macclesfield, just because it's the type of game in those conditions that you really need to get points with. And Keith Curl, I think, is starting to become a little bit formidable in the way that he's able to set out a squad just to get the job done. And I'm okay with that. At this point, I'm okay with that. And if we have to ride a few games out like that, then so be it, because actually he's getting the job done when it really needs to be done.
The thing that I remember us all being a bit surprised with was actually the starting lineup. There were slight changes, weren't there, to our normal 11. But on that, in the past, when we've changed our starting 11 and we've had the likes of Joe Martin in there and, you know, Michael Harriman have come in, we've always had that little bit of trepidation, haven't we, pre-match? And we've just kind of gone, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to go. It didn't feel like there was that much worry on Saturday when we saw that team sheet. I'm wondering whether we maybe feel a little bit more of that trust that Keith Curl has talked about, that understanding now that as fans of what they're actually trying to do. Think that's fair, Neil?
Yeah, I think so. I think I said, didn't I, that to you guys, that I'm starting to feel a little bit like I did in the season when we won the league.
Careful.
No, but in terms of almost expecting us to win now, which is a dangerous feeling, I guess. But then that comes with confidence, that the confidence in the players and what they're doing, that they know what they're doing and they're all on the same page as such. So I think it seems to me that the squad is very interchangeable, which can only be a good thing, can't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a really good point. The fact that, you know, we can bring in players now from the sort of outskirts of the squad, if you like, and they come in and they're performing well, especially in the regards to sort of Harriman and Martin. They're coming in and slotting in positions that they're not natural players in. You know, they're both fullbacks and they're being asked to play a centre back role, and they're doing really, really well. If we'd have tried that last year, it just wouldn't have worked, would it, Danny?
No. Not at all. I think this is the long-term plan that Curl's had, isn't it? That he wants players in that will suit his style and that will fit in and be flexible and, what's the word?
Versatile.
Versatile, yeah, in their positions that they know that they're going to come in and do a job. And you saw last Tuesday, going back to that, that the shape of it and the way that we're playing is so that that anybody can just come in and slot in into a different position. You would just trust it, like you said. It's a really good thing to have, especially, you know, when you're going for promotion. It's it is that trust in the squad that you could put Sam Hoskins in at right wing back, or you could put him in at number 10 role, and you know,
or
that
centre back,
your centre back, yeah, that's pushing it a bit, I think. But you know that if Marshall's going in at right wing back, then you're trusting that. You're now, I think the difference is we're now trusting in Carl that he knows the right decision that he's going to make. He knows the characters that they're going to put in a shift for him. I think that trepidation came from not particularly trusting Carl before, whereas I think now everyone's on the Carl wave, aren't they?
Just yeah. Can I dive in on the Carl wave quickly?
Of course you can.
I don't know if any of you follow Marvo on Twitter or are members of the Hotel Enders to His Horse group on Facebook. So Marvo does this sort of weekly manager table of all our managers and how many points they've got, you know, all the games they've been in charge of, what their win ratio was, what their success rate was, what their loss rate was, and how many points per game they've got. Keith Curl, out of the all-time managers table at the moment, Keith Curl is fourth. The only three people above him are Herbert Chapman, Colin Coldwood, and Chris Wilder, which is pretty...
That says it already, impressive. Doesn't it?
This is done on percentages, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, people like Coldwood would have a longer spell in charge, so it probably makes it a little bit more impressive, and contextually as well, with some of the divisions that some of the managers are in, it sometimes, you know, changes things a little bit, but it's still impressive, definitely.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, and if you think, you know, people always, just looking at that list, people hark back, don't they, to Stuart Gray and think, oh, he was a great manager for us. Actually, he's 22nd, and his points per game was 1.2, which is still you know, it's pretty good, obviously. But
then a lot of that was in League One, and then he had that disastrous season, didn't he?
So. Yeah, of course, yeah. So yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, he's doing well. And you know, we were wrong at the moment, weren't we?
Completely. I'm happy to admit that I was wrong at the moment.
Yeah.
Special mention to Callum Morton, who scored on his full debut. Indeed. Different type of striker by the looks of him, isn't he? He's more of a fox in the box, and he's got a bit of nip to him, if you like. If you look at how he won the penalty against Scunthorpe, he nipped in to win the ball before the defender got there, and then he raced through on goal, didn't he?
I'm gutted about that as well. I don't know if anyone else is, because he was through on goal. It would have been brilliant for him to get a goal.
I'll be honest. Look, if you look at it, though, Chessy, he's looking for the penalty. Oh, yeah, he's not going to score. He knows he's not going to score.
But it would have been the perfect story, wouldn't it?
Well, no, perfect story would have been a Verdane Oliver hat trick. But, you know, Sam Hoskins ruined that, didn't he? Anyway,
Sam.
Anyway, congratulations to Callum for his first goal in a cobbler's shirt. That was really good to see. Well, next, we're going to go and talk about the big one.
I'm Chris Freestone, and it's all cobblers to me.
So on Tuesday, the cobblers take the shortest journey up the M1 for the return fixture against Philip Cocu's Derby County. Of course, Wayne Rooney will be involved. And of course, we also know who we're likely to face in the fifth round.
Well, no, who we will face in. Yeah, who will face?
So obviously, the winner of this FA Cup fourth round replay will go on and face the.
You were about to say might, weren't you?
the winnable game of Manchester United at home. We're all going, aren't we? Apart from maybe Chessy, I don't think you can make it, can you?
No, I'm gutted. I would do under any other circumstances, but. Sean is away in France, so it would mean driving all the way up and back and then going back to school with zero sleep, which would be a really dreadful idea. So unfortunately, I can't do it.
Have you warned France about this?
Yeah.
But we'll all be there, the three of us, won't we, boys? This time looking for... Is it nearly 4,000 tickets or over 4,000 tickets we've sold now?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Pretty much close to 4,000.
It almost feels like 2004, dare I say.
Oh, it does.
What do you think?
I can feel it in the air. It's 2004 all over again.
It's ours to lose, isn't it? You know, it's ours to lose.
I don't know about that.
I think it is.
I think when the draw was made, I kind of thought, well, firstly, I thought it would have been good to get a top six Premier League team, wouldn't it, like Sheffield United? But you know, it'll do. But then you do start thinking, oh, it is like Rotherham, probably on a bigger scale, because it would be probably a better night than even Rotherham was, from the scale of it, from the amount of fans we're going to take there. It's it's just one of those that you just think, up until 7:45, it's going to be one of the atmospheres of the last few years because of what it means. Anything can happen after that, but up until that point, I think it's just the time when we can go and be proud again, and just be proud that we've reached this stage and we've reached even the replay in it. And you never know, do you? I think it's just going to be a hell of an atmosphere right up until kickoff, and then who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, we win.
Are you worried, Neil, that Derby are going to be sort of more prepared for us this time?
Yeah, it's going to be a totally different proposition, isn't it, than the first game. I'm a little worried they won 4-0 on Friday night, because they were kind of struggling for goals, it seemed, before that. And now I'm just hoping the floodgates haven't opened a bit. But I don't know, it's the FA Cup, isn't it? And it, anything can happen. And it is a one-off game. And the only slight concern I've got is whether fatigue might catch up with us a little bit.
Fatigue doesn't exist, though, according to Keith Curl.
I know, Keith Curl might say that out loud.
But in his head?
In his head. Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, especially because none of the new guys can play. So we are a little bit depleted, aren't we? And Scott Wharton will be back, which is good. But you've got to...
Nice Wharton.
Yeah, you've got to assume that Turnbull's probably still going to be out. The Animal's probably still going to be out. Obviously, McWilliams and Harry Smith will still be out. I'd imagine we'll probably just potentially perhaps play Verdane up front on his own.
Ooh.
To start with.
Mm. Can Morton play? I think he can, can't he? I would assume.
No one can play because he wasn't signed when we played the first one.
Yeah.
It's like an extension to the first game, isn't it? So your squad has to be the same.
Got you.
So there's no extras.
I've really been annoyed with the media since the draw was made, because it's all been literally 2 minutes after the draw was made. It was, Rooney could face former club. The next day, another headline, Rooney excited. The excitement building about Rooney facing his old club. And we've just got to put all those headlines up in the dressing room, I think, because then that's team talk done, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely is.
It's been ridiculous, and it's just been a circus of just people expecting Rooney to get through and face Man United.
Well, just proves that, you know, that is all that the English media are bothered about, is the top flight.
No, they're not worried about Verdane Oliver facing them, are they?
No, what I mean is they don't care about the so-called magic of the cup. To them, the bigger story and the better thing to happen would be for Wayne Rooney to play a team that he left because he was no longer good enough for. You know, that's the thing. Rather than go, actually, what would be really good for this competition would be to see a League Two side getting as far as possible into the FA Cup. And, you know, and that be entertaining for more people. I really do believe, you know, the Premier League might be, you know, a global league now, in terms of it's watched in pretty much what, let's say, sort of 80% of the world. But I mean, the FA Cup is the oldest cup competition in the world. And part of the reason it's so good is that, you know, you've got teams from, you know, the whole football pyramid in England. That can start off in it and take part in it and can potentially go on and win it.
It's an opportunity for a small club and a League Two club to actually go out there and just prove all of these people saying that replays should not exist completely and utterly wrong, because games like this lay the foundation for clubs like us. If you look at Lincoln a couple of years ago, they built an entire training facility on the cup run that they had. So if you're willing to stand there in the media and say that you don't want replays, then fair play. But actually, do you know what? You have no idea about proper football, and you have no idea what it's like to absolutely slog your way up and down a motorway, going to games in the pouring rain at Macclesfield and just grabbing a result and standing with buckets to raise money for your club when it's about to go under, and you think that replays don't matter, when crack on, but you know, it does to us.
I'm Alan Neil, and it's all cobblers to me.
Right then, let's get some predictions then for Tuesday night's replay up at Derby. We'll start with you, Chessie.
Oh, 1-0.
1-0? Is that cobblers?
1-0. Yeah, Verdane's going to pop up in like the 97th minute. And there'll be a riot and everyone will be on the pitch. I'll drive all the way up the motorway to join you lot and then drive back and walk into work in a dreadful state the next morning.
Danny?
I'm going to go for a Cobblers win on penalties after a 0-0. We're going to shit out our way to a 0-0 after extra time and then win on penalties. But I will be absolutely crapping myself when Sam Hoskins steps up to take one.
The nation will be.
Oh, dear. I'm going for a 2-1 victory. Verdane Oliver's going to get both goals. And I'm feeling it's going to be a bit like Liverpool back in 2010, where we'll fall behind early doors and think that's it and be like, literally like, oh, no. But then Verdane will pop up with an equaliser maybe just before half time, take us all the way through to extra time, and then we'll score in sort of the last few minutes of the 120 minutes to send us into raptures and on to Six Fields and that date with Man United. So, yeah, that's my dream anyway. Neil, don't let me down.
I think it will be 3-3.
Okay.
And then I think we'll lose on penalties.
Oh, my word.
Can I also point out, if Neil's going to be negative about it, there ain't no shame in losing this match.
No, there absolutely isn't.
No. So if we do draw 3-3 and then lose on penalties, then what have we lost? Not a lot. We've still got a lot of pride from this cup run. So I think if Neil is right, then
I'll tell you what, so we've lost. An FA Cup fourth round replay and the chance for European trips next year.
What, in the third European competition?
Exactly, yes. Go on, Neil. Goal scorers, please, mate.
Oh, goal scorers? Three of them, right. That's a toughie, isn't it? I wish I hadn't said 3-0 now. I'll go Sam Hoskins with 2.
Ooh.
And Andy Williams with 1.
Interesting. We'll be back after that result. So it's later in the week. We will come back with another podcast. We will look back at that derby game and we'll look forward to whatever the next game is on Saturday. I don't even know who it is because I'm not bothered right now. But we'll smash them, so it doesn't matter. So join us later on in the week. Thank you very much, guys, for being with me. Thank you very much to you for listening. Please subscribe. Tell all your Cobblers supporting friends about the podcast and anybody else that might fancy listening. Go ahead, go do it. There's also still a chance for you to win a pair of home tickets for the Cobblers. Fill in our 2020 audience listener survey and you'll be entered into the raffle to win that amazing prize. Who knows, you might choose the last day of the season when we're being crowned champions. Wouldn't that be amazing?